Thanks for reading, Anna. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome to Cross Life Church, and also to those who are joining us online. My name is Michael. I am one of the pastors at this church, and I'm going to be speaking from that passage that Anna just read for us. We are starting a new series. We're going into 1 Peter, taking a break from Luke, and we're going to pick that up kind of closer to the end of the year. We're starting by looking at the first two verses of 1 Peter, and the title for the sermon today is Chosen for Exile. We are going to explore what it means for Christians to be exiles in this world and why God would choose us for that as well. There'll be a Slido afterwards as well. So if you have any questions or comments, or if you want to like other people's questions or comments, you can put those on the Slido. Sorry, the number isn't down there. We will kind of, but you'll see the number later on the slide after this, after the sermon. I'm going to pray for us as we head into God's word. So please join with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word shows us who we truly are and how we should live in this world. And Lord, we pray that what you say about us here in your word may shape our hearts so that we might live as your people in this world. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brené Brown, a social worker and researcher on the topics of shame and vulnerability and leadership, she says that a deep sense of love and belonging is an irreducible need of all people. She's basically saying that we all need to belong somewhere. And we feel the wrongness of it when there's no place for us to belong. We were talking before about the different groups that we belong to in society. I think it'd be a great tragedy for a person to be able to, for a person to say, I don't belong to any group at all. And I think that's because this need to belong drives the things that we do. I think if you look back at your life, if you look back at all the decisions you've made, I think a big part of why we do what we do is because we want to belong or we want to ally ourselves with a particular group. The decision to say something at work or not to say something, the music we listen to or the TV shows that we watch, the clothes that we wear, the language that we use, even who we ignore or who we look down on, who we dismiss, a lot of it is shaped by the people we want to be in with, by who we want to impress and where we want to belong. That need to belong is a normal part of human life. It's kind of so normal that we kind of look on people who don't want to belong with a little bit of pity. You kind of think of those people who want to live by themselves, just in a shed somewhere, you know, no friends, no communication. They're often in Tasmania. We kind of look at them and they're a little bit weird, aren't they? A little bit kooky. It is normal to want to belong. But it's not always good to want to belong, is it? When I was in school, I wasn't really much of a person for belonging. But even then, I had a group of friends. And you don't want to lose your friends, and so you want to be like them. But it was that group that basically taught me how to swear, taught me how to access pornography, taught me a particularly cynical outlook on the world. Even worse than that, you think of the terrible things that people will do in order to belong to like a criminal gang or people staying silent about corruption in their work because they want to keep their job or company boards excusing the behavior of their boss because they get results and they want to keep the boss in the company. And so even though we feel that need to belong, it's not automatically a right thing to want to belong. It can become twisted into all sorts of evil. The key thing is where you want to belong. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 2 is all about where we belong. It challenges us with the question, what if you are not meant to belong in this world at all? What if there's something wrong with wanting to belong with your friends, wanting to belong in your workplace, wanting to belong to your family? What if there's something fundamentally wrong with these groups that makes it wrong to belong? What if you're meant to belong somewhere else? God poses these questions to us by using two words in our passage today, and those words are elect exiles. That's what God calls his people. It's what God calls Christians. An exile does not belong. An exile is not at home. And today we're going to see what it means to be an exile in the world and what that means for how we live in the world. These are the first two verses of 1 Peter that we're looking at. We're going to do an entire sermon on just two verses. You're going to watch me string it out into a whole length of sermon. Maybe next time we'll try and break the record and just do one verse or just one word, but we're going to do two verses at the moment. 1 Peter is written by Peter the Apostle. We have met Peter before in our series on Luke. He was the fisherman who was the Uber driver for Jesus when he needed a boat to preach from. He got the miraculous catch of fish, but he left it all to follow Jesus. Peter also was the guy who famously denied Jesus three times when Jesus got arrested, but was later forgiven and restored by Jesus, became a leader-like guy to the rest of the apostles, eventually killed for his faith, crucified upside down, at his own request, because he felt unworthy to die in the same manner as his Lord. Sometime before he died, however, he wrote this letter, and he's writing it, you see in verse 1, to the elect exiles of the dispersion. And so he's writing to Christians who've been scattered throughout a large area of the Greek Empire, the eastern part. And I think that idea is very, very similar to Christians nowadays, because in a similar way, Christians nowadays are scattered all around the world. And so 1 Peter is relevant for us scattered Christians. Peter is writing to encourage scattered Christians that even though they're scattered, even though they're away from home, this is where they are meant to be. They are meant to be exiles in the world. And we see that in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. You can see in how Peter addresses his recipients, he calls them elect exiles, and this is kind of a reference, a kind of callback to the experience of Israel in the Old Testament. God often does this. He'll refer back to the Old Testament. He'll use the story of Israel in the Old Testament times as a pattern for the life of his people in New Testament times. God delivered Israel from slavery, from Egypt in the book of Exodus. He also delivers us from slavery to sin through Jesus. In the book of Numbers last year, we saw Israel were on a journey to the promised land of Canaan. Christians nowadays are on a journey to their promised land of heaven. And later in the Old Testament, once Israel had their land, they were so sinful that God sent the Babylonians to conquer them. And many of the Israelites were deported to Babylon. They were in exile. They were in a foreign land. Like Spider-Man, they were far from home. All around them were customs and practices that were strange and alien. And as you read about their experience of exile, you see a lot of their struggles, a lot of the issues that they worked through. The book of Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, they work through questions like, how do you live amongst people who are opposed to the core of your identity? How do you live amongst people who are opposed to who you are? How do you live amongst people who have done terrible things to your king, to your country, to your own family? If you're far from home, is there any hope of getting back home? Should you even try to get back home? Or should you go native instead, like that guy from the movie Avatar, you know, just become one of the people that you're living among? These are the kinds of questions that Israel faced in exile. And their experience is not too different from the experience of Christians in this world today. Like them, our home is in heaven. That is where we truly belong. We are not at home in this world. Like them, the world around us is fundamentally opposed to God. Like them, we feel the tension between living in this world but also not belonging to this world, being in the world, but not of the world. And we face questions like, how can we have the same jobs and enjoy the same things as the world around us and yet be such different people? You see, we are exiles in the world as well. But notice the other word that's attached to the word exiles there. Elect. That means chosen. And that means that God has chosen his people to be exiles in this world. And it might seem completely strange for us to think that. Why would God choose someone to be an exile? But it is true. Exile at the moment is where God wants us to be. And if you truly get that, if you truly see yourself as an exile in this world, you'll be okay with it. You'll embrace it. Recently, I've been re-watching a lot of spy movies from the 90s, Bourne, Bond, Mission Impossible. It's a very, very common theme in this movie is that people will say stuff about the main character like, this man is a chameleon. He blends perfectly into any surroundings. He speaks 10 languages. He's a ghost. He could be right behind you and you wouldn't know it unless he wanted you to. That kind of thing. It's a cool idea. But there are some Christians who will try and present that as what a Christian should be like. Christians have to perfectly blend in with the culture around them. And I think there are various problems with that. Firstly, I am not a super spy. There is no way I can do that. Secondly, even if you were a super spy, I'm pretty sure that I could pick out Matt Damon or Tom Cruise or Daniel Craig if they were in Africa or China or something. You know, it'd be pretty obvious. I don't care how super a spy you are. I'm pretty sure I could recognize you. No one is that good at blending in. But most importantly, I don't think the Bible teaches that Christians have to be chameleons like that. Now, overwhelmingly, the Bible is more about how different Christians are from the world, rather than how alike they are. Hebrews 13:13-14 says, therefore, let us go to him, that's Jesus, outside the camp, and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. 2 Corinthians 6:16-18 says, therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And later on in 1 Peter 4, Peter's going to assume that his audience is living so differently from this world that he writes, with respect to this, they, that is the people of the world, are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery. Christians should never make it their aim to live like the world for any reason. Christians make it their aim to live like Jesus. And they let the cards fall where they may. Christians know that trying to be in with God and in with the world at the same time is like going into war wearing the uniforms of both sides. You know, you try and wear the shirt of one side and the pants of the enemy side, and you run through the battlefield, and the result is you get shot by both sides. If you are a Christian, you are in exile in this world. There is no avoiding that. And God's call to us is not to resent that or to escape that, but to embrace that. And I think this is really, really important for us as a church to hear. And I think especially for those of us who are kind of living between two cultures, living between like the Australian culture and the Asian culture. This is not the Bible, but I wonder whether there's something about not completely fitting into either culture that makes us especially sensitive to culture and especially needy to belong. Because that can be dangerous if what we want to belong to is a world that opposes God. Exiles are meant to feel awkward. Exiles will always be seen as strange. There is no escaping that. You can only embrace that. And I think I most strongly feel this in conversations with my friends. You know, we will talk about things like the weather and home renovations and pop culture. But when I am with them, most deeply in my heart, what I really want to speak to them about is what God is like and how good he is. And I cannot do that. Or when kind of people start casually just talking about things like money or relationships or sex or what people should be like in a way that's completely opposed to God, what God has revealed in his word, you feel the discomfort of that. I feel it. When there are things that could be done on Sunday, things I could do that would lead to me getting to know more people, but I can't do that because I go to church. I used to feel this in uni. When I quietly wasn't invited to things that people knew that I couldn't do, you know, go out drinking, go to clubs. You know, for all these things, you just feel weird as a Christian. But that's what God has called us to be. That is the exile life. All these awkwardnesses and misunderstandings and even offences, they're a feature of being a Christian, not a bug. It's kind of like the Asian grocery stores that you see like everywhere around Sydney. You know, they're in this country. But everything that they do shows where they really belong. It shows where their heart is. They've got the lanterns, they've got the scrolls, they've got the Buddha statue, they've got the cat with the wavy hand. They've got the onion that's cut in half to absorb the germs in the air as well. And you look at that and think, what are they doing? They speak a different language in the store. You know, they've got all these foreign things going on. But they're fine with it. You know, all of that just shows that where they are living is not their home. Their heart is in another place. And they are unashamed of that. They do not feel the need to blend in. And that's what God has done for us. He's chosen us to be exiles in the world. We might ask the question, though, why did God choose us to be exiles? Why couldn't God have chosen us to belong to the world, to perfectly fit in? Is God slack? Is God sadistic like that? Is this some sort of punishment? Is God just doing this to test our faith? After all, you know, exile is hard. Not belonging is hard. This is a bad thing that God has called us to. Or it seems bad, at least. Because there is a kind of situation where it is fine not to belong somewhere. It's fine not to belong somewhere when you belong to somewhere better. And that's what God shows us in verse 2. We are at exiles in the world because we are at home with God. Verse 2, it talks about where we are at, and it says, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Notice the three persons of the Trinity operating here, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There are three persons, one God. Each person has a different role, a different job. God the Father is the one who foreknows us. This isn't just looking forward in time and seeing how we're going to respond. This is God planning and orchestrating all things for the sake of his people. God has chosen us and he has placed us in this situation of exile. Why are we in exile though? Well, God the Holy Spirit is the one who sanctifies us. The word sanctification has the same idea as the word holy. It's about being set apart from the world, being clean and pure and blameless before God. And so the Holy Spirit dwells in us, connects us to Jesus, and passes on the holiness of Jesus to us. And God the Son, Jesus Christ, is the one who we obey, the one who has sprinkled us by his blood. God has worked in us to give us that feeling that obeying Jesus Christ is important. Following him, learning from him, being a disciple of him, that's what our life is about, and so we obey him. And we are sprinkled by his blood as well. This is a bit of a gruesome picture, but again, it's a reference or callback to the Old Testament when Israel offered animal sacrifices for their sins. They brought a lamb to the temple, the priest sacrificed the lamb and then sprinkled the blood on whatever it was needed to be cleansed. Whether it was the people or the priest or holy things in the temple, sprinkling of blood was basically a sign of substitution. The message was, you're a sinner, you deserve death from God, but this animal is dying instead of you, and that blood signifies that that animal has died and that you are right with God. And so it's saying here that we are sprinkled with Jesus' blood. Jesus has died in our place to make us right with God. But he's different from an animal sacrifice because he only needed to die once for us. There's no booster shot when it comes to Jesus dying for your sins. Only need it once. And if we believe in Jesus, we are clean before God. And so you see all these things, and this is where we belong. Brothers and sisters, we belong in the foreknowledge of God, part of God's plan. We belong in the sanctification of the Spirit. We belong to God's holy people. We belong to those who obey Jesus Christ and are sprinkled by his blood, who are forgiven. We belong to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you know how good that is, if you know how much better it is to be there than to be headed for hell, well, I think it helps you to cope a little bit better with not belonging to the world, doesn't it? In 2013, the artist DJ Khalid released The Adam Suffering from Success. I would not recommend you listen to the music of the album. There are a lot of naughty words in it, but I love the album art. I love the phoniness of it. I love the whole, like, oh, I'm so rich and so famous and my life is so hard. And I love the self-awareness of it as well. Like, I think there is a bit of, like, a tone of self-parody to it. The image has become a bit of a meme, and people make jokes like, you know, when you get 100s on all your tests and now your parents have greater expectations for you, or when you get a ton of money and then it's tax time, you know, you are suffering from success. But that idea is kind of what 1 Peter is saying about Christians. Christians are, in a way, suffering from success. And now this comes entirely from grace, right? It comes in as a result of grace. It's God's gift to us. We don't work for it. It's grace alone. But the reason that we are not at home in the world is because we belong to something greater. And this is really, really important to realize and take in, because the world is full of people who will try and make you feel that the reason why you are different is because you belong to something worse, not something better. And that is a lie. Over the course of my life as a Christian, I have met people who have called me brainwashed, insane, stupid, foolish for believing in Jesus. And these are just the people who have said this to my face. I have no idea what other people have said behind my back about these things. My response nowadays would probably be to say, look, I probably am crazy, but if I am, it's probably for some reason other than me believing in Jesus. Right? But that kind of labeling that you get from people is part and parcel of being an exile in this world. Now, you're going to cop that. But if you know how good it is to belong to God, then you will not let it get to you. You will be able to let it go. Because there are Christians in the world who have let it get to them. They have fallen for that. And they will change when they feel that, from trying to please God to trying to please people. And it never starts that way. You know, people think that they can do both at the same time, but eventually, as soon as you kind of make that concession, when push comes to shove, people who have already made that decision, they will end up ditching God. And they'll end up losing the spiritual blessings that they have in Christ. Because when you try and please the world, the thing that the world will never do is encourage you to remember the treasures you have in the foreknowledge of God, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling by his blood. Part of the way we make sure that we don't forget that is by realizing how precious it is to belong to God, how precious it is to be holy. And if we have that, then we won't want to belong to the world or be controlled by the world. We won't want to please people. No friendship group or family or political party or lobby group or workplace will be able to separate us from the love of Christ. We will be free and fearless in the gospel. You see, Christians are exiles in the world because they belong to something better. They belong to God. And nothing in the world is worth giving up that precious treasure that we have in Christ. And so these are the kinds of people who we are looking to in the book of 1 Peter. Elect exiles, just like us. There is a deep need in all of us to belong, but the good news of the Bible is that God has given us a place to belong. He makes us holy. He sprinkles us with the blood of Christ. He brings us into his kingdom. All this is by his grace. We have done nothing to earn. But belonging to God's kingdom is so good that you can't belong there and also fully belong to a world that rejects God. That's why God calls us exiles in the world. It's because the world, this world, is not our home. Our home is with God. That's why we feel like we don't belong. And that is fine. It's fine. God calls us to embrace our identity as exiles, live as exiles in the world, and recognize how precious our real home is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have called us, your people, to live as elect exiles in the world. We thank you for the precious privileges that you have provided for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the Holy Spirit. Thank you that this is all in your foreknowledge. Thank you that you have sanctified us through the Spirit. Thank you that you have made us people who want to obey your Son, Jesus Christ, and have been sprinkled by his blood. Lord, we pray that we may recognize what a great treasure it is to belong to you through your Son, Jesus, and through the work of your Spirit. We pray that that will help us to bear up with the feelings of exile that we have in this world. Lord, we have this deep-seated need to belong. But please let that not turn us away from you. Let us make it our goal to obey Jesus, to please you, and let the cards fall where they may. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.